Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Wednesday afternoon to you one and all. Got a great guest with me this hour. He is Professor Emeritus from UW-Madison, Howard Schwaber. We're talking about corruption, and its varying forms. I'd like to ask you this question. I got this question earlier today on the text line from one of our friends, our conservative friends, Mark from Sussex. And he said, oh, well, if you're talking about corruption, you have to talk about the Steele dossier and the corruption around Burisma and the Bidens, setting aside the factual accuracy or inaccuracy of any of those claims. What I thought I presented, Howard, was a really interesting opportunity to talk about different types of corruption and the impacts of different types of corruption. In other words, not all corruption is created equal, and not all corruption has the same kind of impact, especially impact on people's everyday lives. I just wanted to get your thinking on this, and you can address it in any way you'd like. And folks, you've got a question for Howard or I, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
So, yeah, no, I think it's a really good point. And I'll extend it a little bit. There's both different kinds of corruption or forms, and degree matters. So yes, a lot of the things that Trump is doing that people complain about, he will say and has said, look, people have been doing this all along. I'm just doing it more or more effectively. And there's some truth to that. You can tolerate in a system a certain low level of corruption. If you play hardball, if you not restrain yourself at all and push it to its maximum, the problem is you risk destabilizing the whole thing. And I think that's one version of what's going on here. But the reference to the Steele dossier and other such controversies is a nice one, right? So one kind of dishonesty or corruption, if you like, is political hardball and dirty tricks. Mm-hmm. And those matter. They matter in that they help certain people get elected or keep other people from being elected. And of course, that has enormous consequences. We're talking about a different kind of corruption, I think, where we're talking about the process of lawmaking and policymaking. That is, the government as opposed to the politics, electoral politics, right? One is how you get to be in government. One is what you do once you're there. And if in government you act with that same kind of hardball, anything goes, dishonest approach to things, that's much, much more destructive. If you go back to 2016, when Trump was running for president for the first time, he was challenged on the fact that it seemed pretty clear he hadn't paid taxes for several years. And he said, of course he didn't, I'm smart. And what he meant was, he's a businessman, and it is the role of a businessman to maximize advantage, to take advantage of the rules and game the system as much as possible, and even to cheat if everyone else is cheating in order to keep the playing field level. Right? You hear people sometimes in the business say, I have to cheat, my competitors do. I have no choice. It's the rejection of unilateral disarmament. If you bring that same ethos into government, though, that's corrupt in a deep sense. That's corrupt in the sense that the Romans used the word. The loss of virtue, the loss of a sense of any res publica, the word republic, yes, comes from the idea that there is a public thing, res publica, something that is not the same as private interest and is not done in the same way as private interest. So this goes back to my very earliest comment, but A, I think the comment's a good one and points out that various forms of corruption are bipartisan. Again, leaving aside the factual validity of any particular allegation. But B, there's something really different about, let's call it ordinary criminality and real corruption, which is distorting the purpose and the values of government. And to my mind, that last one is much, much more dangerous and much worse and much, much harder to fix.
Folks, again, if you, like Mark from Sussex, have a comment or a question, you can reach Howard and I at 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Let me ask this question differently, and maybe your answer is somewhat, you know, see above what you just said. It seems to me that Donald Trump and his allies, both within government and outside of government, have made a never-ending laundry list of allegations of corruption against others. And some of that perhaps is meritorious. Some of it perhaps is just made up, you know, garbage. But what I think has happened is that what is corruption and the matter of degree, its risk and its impact on people's lives has sort of receded from the conversation. And now it's oh, well, you're claiming my guy did this and it was corrupt, but your guy or gal did X, Y, Z. And we've lost a shared reference point of what is and is not acceptable. And I'm going to point to the Senate's confirmation of Emile Beauvais yesterday to a federal judgeship on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. This is Donald Trump's personal defense, criminal defense lawyer. There were three whistleblowers that came out and said some variety of he lied in his Senate questionnaire related to his nomination. He incorrectly purged people from the Department of Justice because they refused to engage in what those attorneys considered to be politically motivated prosecutions, and or he mishandled the Eric Adams, mayor of New York, corruption case itself, corruption upon corruption. The Senate blew past those three whistleblowers and the third whistleblower and confirmed this guy that even the most conservative lawyers belonging to the Federalist Society and many Republican-appointed Article III judges said this guy is utterly unfit. There are conflicts of interest, and he is himself corrupt. So my question to you, Howard, is have we lost the distinction or a shared understanding of what is the corruption that we as regular people in our American democracy need to be most gravely concerned about?
I think we absolutely have. And you know, I'll use a very old phrase, defining deviancy down, a phrase that goes way back to the 1960s. There are several bits of this. One is in a hyperpartisan atmosphere, people are perfectly willing to accept the possibility their opponents are corrupt, but not their own guy. And so it ceases to be a neutral, it ceases to be a standard that you hold your own people to. It's only a weapon you use against other people, which is a loss. Secondly, as you pointed out, and this is something Trump does more than I think anyone has ever done before on the presidential stage, but it's not in itself new. If you throw out enough reckless accusations, one of the things that it does is it insulates you against accusations, even if they're based on truth, because there's just fog. It's Steve Bannon has a phrase for this, which is too crude to say on the radio, but flooding the zone with, let's call it distraction.
Yes.
And that's a strategy, but it's a strategy that has the result, you know, sort of like our loss of belief in science and our loss of trust in institutions. There's a loss of belief that anybody could ever be not corrupt. And if you assume that all politicians are always corrupt, then you'll choose your corrupt guy rather than the other corrupt guy you don't like. Donald Trump, Gulf states have put $2 billion into cybercurrency businesses in which Donald Trump has a direct interest, that his family has ownership interest. And it's almost the case that no one is raising an eyebrow. That would have been mind-boggling 30 years ago, 25 years ago. You know, when did we cross a line where somehow that's not worthy of comment? That's a really good question and a tough one. And I don't think you can blame one person for it, but certainly Trump is taking advantage of this shift with both hands on a shovel.
Yes. It doesn't avoid comment on this program. And in fact, tomorrow, folks, we're going to break down cryptocurrencies with an expert in crypto, explaining what they are, the different kinds of them, how they operate, what they can be used, the purposes for which they can be used for good, and also some of the corruption possibilities that come with crypto. And we'll be joined in the second hour tomorrow by former White House ethics counsel for George W. Bush, Richard Painter. Richard Painter was one of the founding members and leaders of the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, crew. We're going to talk to him about exactly that corruption, the use of Donald Trump's stablecoin in a transaction of billions of dollars worth by a sovereign wealth fund in the Mideast, in the Gulf states. That's not to mention the fact that Jared Kushner got some $20 billion from the Saudi sovereign wealth fund right after his father-in-law left the White House the first time for his hedge fund, even though the guy had no experience running a hedge fund. I digress. Very specific instance. Folks, if you got a question or comment for Howard and I, 855-752-4842. Carmela from Milwaukee, say hello to Howard. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Howard. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Carmela.
Hi. It's more a comment or maybe a question. I listened this afternoon to, I think it's Rick Wilson of the Lincoln Project, and he was talking basically about corruption from the Republicans. And I don't think he used the word gerrymandering, but he was warning about redistricting. Sorry, can't say the word. And about specifically Texas and California. And if we don't, meaning the Democrats, fight like the Republicans do, they're going to take over again and they're never going to go out of power again. And I'm confused by that, but it kind of goes along the lines of what you're talking about with corruption and maybe how to fight it or why people are doing it and so on and so forth. Do you have any comments on that?
Great question, Carmela. Howard, go ahead.
Please. Right. So a perfect example. Gerrymandering is, first of all, a really good form of a certain kind of corruption of the principle, you know, not financial corruption. It's dishonest. It's sleazy. The U.S. Supreme Court has blessed it, saying that essentially they said, well, it's all part of the game. What can you do anyway? As long as one party engages in gerrymandering, the other party will say, well, we have to also engage in gerrymandering because otherwise you're talking about unilateral disarmament and the bad guys win. This goes deep. And the fundamental thing, and Wisconsin is a great place to start this conversation, until Wisconsin Republican voters get tired of dirty tricks and dishonesty from Republican candidates, and Wisconsin Democratic voters get tired of dishonesty and dirty tricks from Democratic candidates. Until voters hold their own parties accountable, there is no effective way to fight against minimally legal corruption because it's the Oakland Raiders motto, just win, baby.
Just win, baby. It doesn't, and let me be clear, Carmela, I'll respond to your question and Rick Wilson's comments directly. What Texas is proposing to do is re-gerrymander all of their U.S. congressional districts to eliminate the possibility that Texas would have a single Democratic congressperson elected to the House of Representatives. Why are they considering doing so? Because the margins come 2026 in the House of Representatives are going to be, again, razor thin. This is having a cascading race to the bottom potential impact. If Republicans do it in Texas, then it is open season. And this means, again, part of the problem is the two parties. Part of the problem is the primary system. Part of the problem is the lack of ranked choice voting or top five primary voting. But all of this, this permissive structure, if they do it, we do it, we'll do it worse or better, depending on your perspective. What it does is it robs centrists and people of good faith of having their vote count. I believe in one person and one vote, and elected officials that actually represent all of their constituents, not the select few. We continue this discussion on the other side. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC.